For years, I was so fed up with shampoo, I just stopped washing my hair. I quit completely. I was so sick of poofy, frizzy, limp hair, distorting my natural oils. Until a few months ago, I found Modern Mammals, and it changed everything. And by the way, right now you can visit modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. So check that out. So look, I heard about this through the podcast, and before I agreed to advertise, they sent it to me, and I was reluctant. But let me tell you, I should not have been. This stuff is absolutely magical. My hair felt better, smelled way better, and most importantly, looked better. And I know it will do the same for you as well. It doesn't have those hair-ruining chemicals like other products, and it doesn't leave any leftover residues. It works. Don't believe me? Go read their awesome reviews online as well. Go to modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. Again, that's modernmammals.com for 10% off with promo code LSS. Don't forget to use our promo code LSS so they know we sent you. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, Shane Told. As always, as I take you into the backstage conversations that I have with other lead singers. It's been a pretty tough couple weeks. There's a lot of unrest in the world right now, and rightfully so. It's tough, man. It's tough to know what to say about it. Last week, I put some words together, and I hope, you know, everybody is learning and reading and communicating with each other and having some of those hard conversations. It really is a hard time. I wasn't sure exactly what I could do on this podcast. But I looked around the room and I saw the microphone that I've used to record all of these intros since the very first podcast, which was 4.5 years ago. And it's the same microphone that I recorded a lot of these interviews with. I used it, or the guest used it. I decided, what the hell? Let's sell it. Let's get rid of it. Let's put it up on eBay. And let's see if we can use that money towards a good cause like Black Lives Matter Detroit. And the Detroit Justice Center, they're doing some incredible work providing legal help for people that truly need it in the great city of Detroit right now. And it just sold. Sorry if you missed it. It's gone. I want to congratulate and thank Brendan Potter for picking it up. We raised $440. I'm going to round that up to a cool $1,000. And thank you everyone so much who bid on it. It really does mean so much. Hey, this week, we've got a really great episode and one that's been in the queue for a long time. In fact, it was on an old computer that I couldn't access, and that's what happened. That's why this one took so long to come out. But it's a great episode with Nick of The Spill Canvas, a band that is back. Yes, they're back. They've got a new record recorded, apparently. Almost done, according to this podcast, and this was recorded almost 3 months ago, right when the quarantine was hitting. So yeah, you're going to hear a bit of an interesting perspective on, you know, our prophecies of what we thought was going to happen. So it's kind of funny, especially the beginning of this episode, to listen back and go, oh man, we were way off on that idea, or actually, maybe we were right in a few other ways. So it's really cool. And I want to thank Nick for his patience. And I want to remind you guys that there is a brand new Spill Canvas song. It's called Mercy. quarantine edition, I guess. It's going to be played at the end of the episode, so stay tuned for that. And they also have a podcast that they've been doing with some great guests. It is called Part of the Hive. Search for that. It'll come up on whatever you're listening to this on. I'm sure you can listen to that as well. So check it out, Part of the Hive. I want to give a huge shout out to all the members of the All Access Club for all the support, all the love that they give me, that they give the show. Man, right now we need it more than ever, especially me, just mentally. Being able to go on there and be a part of a great community, it's really, really great. Check it out if you want to help the show. The link is leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. Otherwise, I thank you for doing your part and trying to raise awareness at this very critical time. Anyway, let's jump in to a very intense conversation with Nick Thomas of the Spill Canvas.
We're doing it.
Yes, you sound like you're in the same room as me. But if you were in the same room as me, that would not be practicing social distancing.
That would be bad. I was catching myself like thinking about that because I was talking to our manager about doing, you know, one of like a live stream or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, it'd be great if you like if we could get the whole band together to do one, like, and I was, cause we live all across the country. And I was like, well, that wouldn't actually probably be in our best interest.
Right.
Because we should be around each other.
Right. No, it's true. I mean, it's at what level, like they're saying, you know, most places, I mean, it's different everywhere. Right. And
yeah,
I'm also going to record the date. Today is the 20th of March because this stuff is so rapidly changing.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, by the time people finally hear this, I want them to have some context of where we were in this mess, you know?
So I don't mean to, like, spread this information or whatever, but, I mean, it's coming from, like, a reputable source in my life anyway.
Okay.
So my wife just left. My wife, Sarah, she just left the house to go try to stock up on as much stuff as she can, like food and just, you know, household items. Is, I mean, we got a bunch of, we didn't panic buy toilet paper, but we have toilet.
That's good.
Yeah. But like, so she just left because her really good friend's parents work, in the government kind of high up, and they had told their daughter or something that, over this weekend, Trump's gonna, announce like a nationwide 2-week quarantine.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean,
yeah,
you know, that's what they did in China, and it worked pretty well. So
it worked. I mean, I'm willing to take whatever, you know, whatever it takes. It's just it's crazy because there's people. I read these stories of just like these kids on spring break down here, because I'm in Florida, and it's just like these dumb kids, like, that don't care.
I know that one footage of the guy with the like backwards trucker hat when he's like, "If I get corona, I get corona." It's like, oh no, that poor like, guy. Like he in like I don't know,
I know
5 years. Like, hopefully, in 5 years, he's gonna look at that and go like, "Oh my god, like that ruined my life." That clip.
Yeah,
but I mean, I don't know, right? Like.
I mean, it is wild. So, yeah, in my lifetime, I mean, I guess a lot of our lifetimes, pretty much everyone, we've never gone through anything like this. So it's like,
yep.
I mean, it's just crazy. It's surreal. It's super surreal.
It is super surreal. Yeah. Like the videos of people that like they were on a rafting trip for the last 25 days and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They're back. It's like, it's just,
or Jared Leto, I think too. I read he was on some like self discovery. It's like, yeah, oh my God, can you imagine coming back to this?
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Like, but I think, I mean, God, that would be the big. I mean, I don't know what would be a bigger shock, because it's like this is like a slow building shock, you know?
Yeah.
Not like shock is normally like a quick, you know, devastating, like one blow kind of thing. But this is like this swelling, like growing, like disbelief. And like, it's hard not to get sucked up in the fear. I mean, as much as, you know, I hate the like just the people that just will take an information and just like twist it or run with it. And
right.
And I mean, I try not to do that, but it's hard not to, because we're still like monkeys, you know.
well, we still don't know what's really going on, too, right?
Yeah,
like, we don't. True. They don't have that much information about, you know. Like at first, it was like, and even I was a little guilty of like, are we kind of overreacting here? Like I was like, there's only 500 cases in a city in a country of 300 million people, and like only like. This, like, however many people at the time had died, it was a very small number. And, like, even I was like, is this, aren't we getting a little, like, over the top here? But the thing is like, we didn't know. Like, a lot of people were saying, oh, it's like the flu, it's going to go away when it gets warm out or whatever. And, like, they don't know if that's true. They don't know anything.
Yeah. So it's very, which is kind of the more terrifying part. And then as you saw, like, as you see, like, Italy go down and, like, I mean, it's the numbers, you know, are like of death are climbing. And then it's like there are a lot of younger people that from what I've read, there's been it's showing to kind of, you know, not only infect those with compromised immune systems and that are, you know, age and stuff like that. I mean, that those are big factors, obviously, but
it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, like, you know, on who it's, you know, targeting or whatever, right? Like, you know, I mean, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if you have a relationship with your parents or how old they are. You know, I have a great relationship with my parents. My father is turning, 75 this year.
Whoa.
You know? So like, you know, they're the prime, you know, targets for the people that don't make it through this thing. So I'm doing my part. I'm, you know, I haven't really left my house except for, you know, to go outside and like go for a walk or run. And then I'll go to the store. And the good thing about me, and I don't know, I think it's just the rocker life, but I tend to stay up really late at night. So there's a 24-hour store that I'm going to at like, I go at like 3 or 4 in the morning because I'm up anyway, and there's nobody there. So,
that's crazy. I was up till 4 last night just working in the studio here on music.
Yeah. I mean, even if you aren't a night owl like we are, I mean, who cares now? Like, there's no time anymore.
Yeah.
Wake up, have a beer. Who cares, right?
Yeah.
Eat cereal in the middle of the night. I know.
It's kind of like, hey, welcome to my world, because my wife is like home just now, you know, because her work has closed and she's like home, and I'm like, well, this is what I do. I just sit around and write music all day.
I know.
Watching TV and hang out.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like with relationships, and a lot of people have a lot of space from their partners, and now all of a sudden there's no space. It must be people must be getting on. Not to say that you and your wife are, but some people must be getting on other people's nerves. You know?
Oh my God!
And we're only like 6 days into this thing. Not like
I know.
Imagine in a week or two.
Yeah, I'm sure I have gotten on my wife's nerves like a little bit. Already, just because I'm like, hey, will you come listen to this? Come check this out. Is this cool? And she's like, yeah, this is great.
That's very funny.
It definitely will test the bonds of your love. But I mean, it's, you know, it's still kind of cool, because like it's cool to see our dog. We have two little dogs, and they're like, they're kind of like, every time my wife like gets up and moves around, they're like, oh, are you going to go now? Are you going to leave? Like, they're so surprise that right. she's just here.
It's true.
She's just always working. It's true. Yeah,
well, but when the dogs get sick of you, you know you're in the house too much. Oh, that's funny.
I know.
So, so you might be doing some live stuff. Live streaming stuff. Definitely not live stuff. So talk to me a bit about that and how you feel about the idea of that. That sounds like something, you know, knowing your personality a little bit, that might kind of work for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, you know, our guitar. So I'm in Orlando. I moved here with my wife Sarah four years ago, and originally from South Dakota, and that's where. So our drummer is based still in South Dakota. Our bass player got married and moved to Wisconsin. And then our guitar player is down in St. Augustine, which is like an hour and a half from me here in Florida. And I was going to ask him to come do the live stream, but I'm like, I don't know. I mean, like, it'd be great to have him because, like, then I have another guitar, you know, part and a voice to.
Right.
But, like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to be like him to be the he's fine, he's my bandmate, like it's like, well, I don't, what if he has it you know?
Well, sure, I like, mean I don't know, right? It's that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like the numbers now are climbing, and they're saying a lot of it is because now they're testing people before they weren't.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Now, like, now you look at the NBA number of NBA players that went from 1 to like, there's like 15 now or something, maybe more.
Yeah, I saw that.
So it is just a function, I think, of testing. A lot of people have it too.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I'm not scared of myself getting it really. Like, I'm sure I'll be fine.
No.
Maybe I won't even show symptoms, but, you know, I'm not planning on going near my parents or anything at all. But
that would be the fear, right?
And, you know, that's the fear.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like Sarah's my wife Sarah's her grandmother is having some issues, and like, as much as she would love to go be there with her or her mom, you know, like in Seattle, as much as she would love to, like, you know, visit, you know, and like my dad, he's I think he's like 55 or 50.
Okay, so he's not too old, no.
58. Yeah, but, and like, he's an ultra marathon runner.
Oh,
like in the last
in the last
7 years, he started doing that. So he has this like weird freak, you know, he's just freaky healthy with how much running he does. But, you know, I still am worried, you know, I never know. My mom, unfortunately, she had passed like about two years ago, but she had basically a double lung transplant, and if she was around for this, like, that would wipe, and she got it, it would wipe her out.
Yeah.
So I'm glad she's, you know,
it's
a little easier to think about it that way. But you asked a question.
Just about the live stream, and, you know, it seemed like something that you'd enjoy. Well, I think you should do it, even if it's, you know, even if it's just something that's like, hey, I'm going online in a half an hour. Check it out.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's just good for, you know, people like sitting around, you know? I mean, they need that. So
I think a lot of
bands are planning on doing stuff like that, and they should be, you know?
Yeah. I watched Anthony Green do set on Twitch, and like, he was hanging, and like, there's so many like comments that I've never been on Twitch, and it was so crazy. It was just like rapid fire, like, messages that would just be like scrolling as he's playing. And it still like was a cool thing. He did quite a bit. And Sarah told me that Ben Gibbard was doing like a set like every day this week on Instagram, I think.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. Like, and I was like, okay, I probably should, you know, we didn't have any tours planned for now. Like this in the next near future, but, you know, come July, late July and August, we were kind of hoping to have the record kind of done, ready to go, and, you know, with a label on a label at a home released, and, you know,
yeah,
just that actually, we were in talks with the label. I don't know. I because we're still figuring it out. We're still sussing out a few possible other places that we'd call home. But you know, we were in the middle of like doing that with our lawyer, and because I mean, and then this thing hit, and then it's like, oh well, I guess no, you know. Well, like we haven't heard, you know, obviously that's not really at the forefront of
totally. Yeah. I mean, all everything that was on is now off or on hold.
Now, yeah.
And that's fine. You know, hey, we'll get through this thing. So, let's talk about the old days a little bit. And, sure. I think a lot of people would be interested in hearing, about your, you know, your journey to where you are today, being from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, not exactly a hotbed for the music scene.
What do you mean?
But I mean, there was a scene. I mean, you know, you were in the band Nodes of Ranvier, which is a band oh no, I lost my headphones.
Uh oh.
Hold on.
You remember Nodes?
It's never happened before. Hello?
Yep.
Sorry, I literally just turned around and unplugged my headphones, so I couldn't hear anything.
You remember Nodes? You've heard of Nodes?
Of course I've heard of Nodes. And I, you know, the name, it's funny. I remember when the band, when you guys like first came out or I first heard of you, I remember the term Nodes of Ranvier from like biology class. And I was always like, I always thought it was like kind of would be a sick name for a band. And I was stoked that somebody used it.
Yeah, that was the guitar player who started the band. That was his call. And I thought it was cool. It was a really... I didn't understand at first, like just seeing it, you're like, what the hell is that? What are those?
right. No, it is like kind of cool. I just think that I always like when there's things like that where it's obvious that somebody just heard it in school, because a lot of bands are started when we're in high school and we're sitting around in class thinking about anything except class, right? Yeah. Like half listening in your biology class when you hear something like Nodes of Ranvier and you're like, that sounds badass. Like, I don't know what it is, but it sounds badass. Yeah.
There was a band called good friends of ours. We toured with them a couple of times, but they were called Treaty of Paris.
Oh yeah.
And it was just like that feels like a
one of those two
history class.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, "Huh? What? Oh." Yeah. Okay, I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, no, I remember when Nodes of Ranvier came out. I don't know if you were still in the band at that point or not. It was probably pretty early on. I was always pretty like into knowing about bands that were unsigned and knowing what was going on. But then I remember when they got signed to Victory.
Yeah, so
that was probably the years I remember most.
Sure. Yeah, I was on the second record on Face Down Records.
Right, Face Down, that was the label.
Yeah, and then I had started like it was weird. We did a tour once where we, the first half like I opened the show as Acoustic Spill Canvas, doing that because starting to do it, and they were like, all the guys were super supportive, you know, and they all kind of liked all kinds of music, but it was so like the kids at the shows were like, what the fuck? I mean, they were supportive, but like, you know, it was like, we're here to see metal and like throw down. And
right. Like, and I always felt like back in those smaller scenes back in the day, people were way more open-minded though.
Yeah.
Like I, you know, the reason I bent all the guys in my band is like one of them was in a ska band, one of them was in a metal band, and we'd play shows together. You know?
Yeah, dude, seriously. Like that's what it was like in Sioux Falls. There'd be like the local like hip hop group that we had, and they would play. And then like one show was like Nodes, the hip hop group Soul Crate Music. They're so good. They're amazing. And then like a ska band, like the Scommunists.
Oh, nice name. I love that.
Yeah. And like, it was so much more of a open thing. That's why I felt so comfortable doing that then, you know, opening for Nodes, but I definitely wouldn't now.
right.
But yeah, man, Nodes was those guys were so like gifted instrumentally that I like, I kind of played guitar, and you know, they asked if I wanted to fill in for a little bit because their original guitar player left after the first album came out, and I was like, I can't play this stuff. And so the drummer, who is a better guitar player than both the other guitar player and myself, I moved in with them at their house, and he would like have me downstairs, and like he was so strict, and like he was kind of a dick about it. He'd be like, no, you're not getting it. Practice. Like, he would just be sitting there like showing me stuff and showing me the parts and like teaching me technique. And man, it was like, but it was so informative, and it really helped me as like a player. I don't know that I could play quite that way today.
right.
It was just a different, you know, a 5150 and just like high gain EMG pickups, just stuff. But like, you know, it was just like, I'd still appreciate those guys because they're all so awesome, and they really helped. Like, you know, it was my first tour I was ever on was with them. And but then after that album came out, we wrote and recorded the second album with Nodes. I kind of was like, I want to try the Spill Canvas stuff.
I mean, it's interesting, right? I mean, you're a songwriter now, you know, that's what you do. And I always feel like when you're a kid, you know, and it's interesting that drummer was like, also, obviously he's the best drummer in the band and the best guitar player in the band. It's kind of like when you're kids and there's like, and you're playing sports and there's like the one guy, you're playing baseball and he's like the best pitcher and the best hitter and the best at catching and the best, right? Like, it's kind of like that. And I don't know if there's people that just get it faster than others or whatever.
I
was always, you know, as a guitar player first, like you are, I was always like, once I sort of started figuring out that I could write my own stuff, I got way more excited about that than I did about playing scales faster than everybody else.
Too. I was more like, ooh, songwriting, not like, you know, sweeping or something.
Right. Like, and that seems like that's where your heart was, and that led to a lot of great music. So I'm glad you made that choice. I'm sure all your fans are very glad you made that choice.
It's definitely, it is crazy to think about. Yeah. Like that was probably, you know, and I had their support too. They weren't like bummed. We had some friends that were a little more into metal, and they were in a metal band that just broke up, and they were like, honestly, like, these guys, you know, we have our buddy who can replace you. If you want to go do Spill stuff, like, we support you. And it was just a good environment, to be in, to start off, you know, doing Spill Canvas. And then, that's where it took off, I guess, from there.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really, really great career you've had, and I don't really know where to dive in. I mean, obviously, you guys started out really strong. You know, you were on a major label for a while, then you weren't. You're putting out records yourselves.
Yeah.
And that's the very, very, very short Cliff's Notes of the thing.
Yep.
But I don't know. I mean, you guys are still together, you're still doing it. Member changes. You did a solo record, and you were kind of doing the Shadow Wars. You know, thing for a while.
Tried that. Turns out they were just a bunch of old Spill songs. I wanted to see the light of day, and the guys in the band, I mean, they were recorded. It was literally all the guys in Spill Canvas, and then, but they just didn't want to, you know, tour it, or they kind of, two of the old members or old drummer, guitar player, they wanted to do family stuff and kind of be done for a bit. Cause we had had kind of a pretty rough go of it after we left Warner.
Yeah.
Just personally, like, for myself and like the band, like as a whole, kind of took a hit from it because I got Well, I mean, I don't want to dive into the story. Basically, for lack of a better term, we had some success on the major, and then when it came time for the second major release, they wanted to have me do co-writing and stuff, which I wasn't really into, I guess, at the moment, you know, at the time.
Yeah.
And they kept saying no to all these songs that we would send them, these demos, and I was like, getting frustrated, and they just wanted a repeat of what had happened on the first album. And I was like, I'm giving you this repeat, but you're not accepting it. And so, you know, we ended up doing these co-writes, and those co-writes really did a number on my, I guess it was just, you know, the train had been building and the dream kept getting bigger each year. And like, I felt so fortunate. And then I didn't ever think it could like go away at that in that way at that time, or like get out of my control, you know?
Right. Interesting. Yeah. That is interesting though, that you have this thing and it grows and grows and grows until it's not you and your friends writing songs and putting a band together and touring. It's like a corporation.
Yeah.
Telling you. And it's like, and you, one day you wake up and it's like that. You know what I mean? Obviously the steps come to where it comes, but then at some point it's kind of like, it reminds me of like on Wayne's World where they sell the show and then Wayne gets fired and he's like, what do you mean I'm fired? You know? And it's like, well, I own the show. You know,
it's true.
And it's like, wait a second, what? Like what's happening?
Yeah.
I'm not the leader of this thing anymore. Right.
Dude, like, yeah, I mean, it encapsulates it perfectly. Cause then it became like, and there was just nothing I could do to fight these guys, you know, like,
right.
And our management at the time just was kind of siding with the label's choices. And they were like, just go co-write in LA with these people. I mean, it was amazing experiences, to get to do that and to see how, you know, like people of this such high caliber of like producer or musician, songwriter, like would just, you meet them in a day, you have this like, you know, pretty decent sounding, like, you know, song,
yeah.
But it was not, cause it takes me like 2 weeks to like really hone in on like the lyrics of one song, exactly like what I want to say and like how I want to say it. And I can't just like come up with some, you know, something that's meaningful and like that is in line with the rest of the catalog in like an hour, you know, of meeting a person I've never met before. You know, it's totally.
There is definitely, when you do that songwriting, you know, those songwriting sessions and stuff, co-writes, it does sort of, if fans could see it, it does sort of take a little bit of the like love out of it.
It does, you know? A little. I definitely love it now more, like, like being a little more, because I kind of want to do like as like a side gig, or maybe like, you know, if Spill Canvas, like, just, you know, if it doesn't keep going for whatever reason, I want to be able to like still utilize my, I want to do something musical.
Sure,
and
of course.
I love like pop music and I love writing, you know, good songs, like in rock pop songs. I love that stuff. And I'm trying to actually currently, just get more, I got a bunch of gear and I'm just, you know, after the last tour, and I'm kind of like in my home studio phase of like having an understanding exactly of what's going on in like the mixing area and the engineering side of things.
Right. Yeah.
Like a small scale. And it's so much to know, cause I've done so many records, but I'm not sitting there like taking notes on.
Right. Which compressor are you using and what's the setting? And yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
And
I'm
like,
the same way.
Why do you use that there? You know, like,
right.
I'm just sitting here. I'm actually currently kind of getting into that and spending my time watching tutorials and stuff and really trying to hone my ears. But you know, the co-writes, what they did was teach me a lot. But it also, Warner Bros. Ended up liking all the co-writes that I mean, were so out of character for us. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And some of the lyrics were just like ridiculous and just stuff I wouldn't write. It was just cheesy pop stuff that was too cheesy, you know?
Yeah.
So we ended up putting out a record, the last record with Horner, and we did several EPs before that. And we got like two of our songs from a selection that we wrote over a year of like 20 songs or something. We got two of them to poke through that they let us have on the record.
No, they let you have. I know, it's funny.
I mean, it's like saying it out loud. It's like, so it's like champagne problems, you know, like it's so, well, I mean, in a way, you know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing, right? You come from a punk hardcore scene, you know, you come from a local scene. And like a lot of times, those kinds of bands, like if you talk about Nodes or Ranveer, they're less accessible musically. Like they're, the ceiling is much, much lower of what a band like that or any, you know, metal band can really achieve.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, so with Spill Canvas being more on the mainstream side of punk rock, if you want to say that, you kind of need to play the game a little more. You know, so you sign with a major, but then you kind of lose control. You cut off some connection you have or you had to the underground.
Yeah.
So then you're sort of like, you're sort of trading in a little bit of credibility for, you say champagne, which is funny, but you know what I mean? It's kind of like, what do you want to drink? Do you want to drink a 24 pack of Miller High Life or do you want a bottle of champagne, right? The champagne of beers or the champagne. Yeah. And it's, you know, there's something to there, right? It's like a bottle of champagne can be much more expensive than a case of beer, or it can be not.
That's true. So, it could be the $5 bottle of piss water or whatever. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Like I think it was like, it was what really was jarring though was that I was just I don't know why, but my natural inclination was to, I mean, I'm really open about this. I don't, you know, mean to be uncomfortable, but my natural inclination once I realized we had to record these songs that the band didn't write with me and they were going to misrepresent us entirely during, you know, I mean, we had just come off like these amazing support tours and it just felt like awesome. And I just started doing drugs like that. I would, you know, I started with pills and like it just started getting, I just became an addict and it was like, and no one else in the band did anything, you know, maybe smoked weed a little bit here or there, drank, but it was, no one had issues. And I used the like, I just was pouting, you know, like I'm going to just escape. I wanted to escape. And I did, but then it was too, by the time we started recording that record, I mean, I was taking like opiates, like crazy. And it was just like it was nuts. It was just a weird, everyone knew and they were worried and like, but we had to get through the record and it was just, it was bad. And so after,
this is for which record, just to clarify?
Yeah, so this is for Formalities.
Okay, right.
Which is the last Warner Brothers album.
Yep.
You know, that was just, it was just crazy. Because I wasn't like wild or anything, but I was definitely like, I was just so weird because I was on so many pills and like, you know, it was just,
was that something you experimented with, like drugs throughout your life and then like a little bit here and there and then it just kind of came full circle at one point?
I experimented like as a kid with weed and then I had a little, I had a break for quite a while. Like I did it in high school here or there. And then I had a break while I was in Nodes because they were like, they were more Christian based at that time and they were all straight edge at that time. And you know, that I just kind of followed suit. I didn't really feel the need to like drink or smoke. And then once I started, like right around One Fell Swoop, the second album of Spill Canvas, I started like smoking weed, like very, very frequently, and I did for up until formalities, because it was just like, it was just every day, and I would write so many. I mean, writing on it was so amazing. I would, you know, it felt amazing anyway, and it felt like I came out with some of my favorite stuff, but it started to, once I introduced like these pill cocktails, you know, I stopped smoking weed, and then, you know, I tried it again later. And it just, I just had bad episodes, and so I stopped, but I kept doing like these pills and stuff, you know, and
yeah,
it was rough, man. And then it got to the point where I had to do a rehab, and then
so
we went out.
You like went away to rehab? Like you did it?
Went to a place
and everything?
Went to the inpatient facility because I crashed the band van, the night, let's see, like at like 4 a.m. coming home from some girl's house or something, like a night before we were supposed to shoot the video for our song. And I mean, I fell asleep at the wheel, like on the highway, like 75.
Oh my God.
And I hit this airport shuttle in the back. Luckily, no one was injured. And I wasn't injured, but somehow I wasn't injured. I have no idea how, probably because I was asleep, but you know,
completely wrecked the van.
I mean, just like the front was just completely folded up to the window basically.
Yeah.
And like I broke the steering wheel cause I was, my hands like broke it cause it like of the impact, it like snapped or whatever. And like, but I just had like a bump, and I definitely had a concussion, and they sent me to the hospital. You know, I had to call the guy. I mean, it was just it was so awful and like scary too, because I was like, oh shit, what am I doing? And like, we had this video. It was this huge, our first single off Formalities that I wasn't a fan of, but it was this big production. They put a lot of money into it, and I was showing up like, I mean, I had these like bags and rags, I had a cut like on my face and stuff.
And, like, my God.
And the guys were like, where were you? And like, what the, I mean, they were pissed and worried. And then we had to like shoot a video and like, they had to act like all into it while they were like, what is happening right now? I mean, the guy is falling apart, you know? And so I did the rehab. It was successful for a brief period of time. after we left Warner Brothers, I was like, I'm out of here. I'm just done. I couldn't, I still like the dependency was still there after, a while it came back up, and my relationship with the guys was pretty strained. So
yeah,
I had to just leave, and I kind of just ran away to, I moved out of Sioux Falls. I moved to Chicago. I had an ex who lived there, and like, it was just a recipe for disaster, honestly. And yeah.
Right, moving to a great big city like that with lots of trouble to get into, right?
Yeah. And that's where, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm a long-winded speaker.
No, it's good. It's good.
I ended up, that's where I ended up doing heroin for the first time. And then I became addicted to heroin, and no one knew. I got kicked out of my buddy's house because they found out. And so I was living on the street. And like, no one knew. My parents didn't know. None of the guys, no one knew that I was. And I was sleeping on the train. It was really cold. And like, I was just, whatever money came in from Spill Canvas, like residuals or publishing or something, I was just spending on heroin. And I was like, this is pretty bad. I think I'm going to die if I don't like make a move here, you know?
Wow.
Cause it was just getting gnarly. So it was like 3 to 4 months of that. And ended up I was like, I'm going to die. So I called my dad and told him, and he was like, Jesus. And so him and my ex kind of like helped me get back. They bought me a plane ticket, booked me at the treatment center back in South Dakota, which is, oddly enough, is like one of the third highest recovery rates. It's just in a small town in South Dakota called Canton.
Great.
They flew me back there and did that. You know, and I struggled. I mean, I still struggled after that for a little bit with stuff. I mean, it's still today I struggle with it. But it's been, you know, it's been like five years since opiates, minus the other incident that I'd done. I mean, I hate to go. I don't know why I got into this conversation. Well, I'm so sorry.
No. I mean, it's interesting for people to hear about it. And, you know, and
yeah,
for sure.
I mean, it's like a big part of the story, I think, in some ways, cause, and I'm just open about it. I have been on my social media. So last year, I was good for, I've been clean for, you know, since I've been like married and stuff and doing well. Obviously there's struggles, but, you know, it basically, it was last year I had somehow, you know, just some guy, I don't know, whatever. I ended up procuring some heroin and I was like, what am I doing? And I didn't even, and then I forgot about it. And I had it in my pants pocket. I was like, what am I doing? That was ridiculous. I forgot about it. I was doing laundry the next day and I was checking my pants pockets and I pulled it out and I was like, oh no, you know? And so I ended up, just doing like a small amount because when I was doing, doing that and using heroin, fentanyl was not a
right
big concern. It would just be like, don't do too much heroin, you know, and not like if you do any of this, it has fentanyl in it and you'll die because the lethal dose is like a speck of dust, you know. And so yeah. I ended up doing a little bit, but it was just pure fentanyl and I don't remember anything. I just remember doing it and 2 seconds later, I woke up on the floor with paramedics around me.
Oh my God.
Yeah, my wife and her friend were out in the living room and they came into my studio, which is it's totally separate from the house. It's like an old converted garage that is like, it's just been made a laundry room and like it's a really cool little studio. And, but they came in to tell me something funny and the dog did. And if they hadn't, I mean, I was just lying there like purple, I guess. And they came in and, you know, called the ambulance. They came in with the Narcan and hit me back into life. And like, I had no idea what happened. You know, I couldn't believe in the first place that I had relapsed, you know, and then the second place that the stuff that I had was just pure fentanyl, you know. It's so scary.
Well, it happens, right, with people. They don't do drugs for a while and their tolerance changes. So, you know, their doses is not what they're used to and they can't handle it. That's fucking scary, man.
It was scary as hell. And I mean, it definitely shook me into a certain place, you know. It definitely put life in perspective. Cause a lot of, you know, who knows? Like the paramedics said, maybe 20 seconds to a minute longer, I'd be toast, you know? And it's definitely a life changing event. And so going into like, you know, this new album and like a new like era is like it feels like there's something to prove a little bit to myself, and like, you know, there's, it just feels, it just has such, not like anyone else, you know, in a band, like in a position of releasing new music doesn't have like a reason and a, you know, a good story and kind of like conviction behind whatever they're releasing. It just I think just personally for me, it just is so important to like try to get this try to get this music out, this new music that I've been waiting to do since, you know, our last, in like 2012, maybe. So yeah, it's just, I don't know. It feels like I'm still here for some reason. So,
well, Dan, dude, well, thanks for sharing that story and everything. I mean, that's intense. No. What's that?
I didn't mean to get so somber. I'm just so open about it when we go into the history of the band and stuff.
I think it's good. I think it's good to be, and it's important to be, you know. You talk about when it was happening, it seemed like you were hiding it from everybody.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
And now that people know and stuff, people are going to be more supportive, I think, too. They're more understanding and,
sure,
you know, I think it's a good move for you. I applaud it.
Oh, thank you, man. I mean, I'm definitely no poster child. I don't want to be a poster child of, like, sobriety, because I also got diagnosed a couple years ago with schizoaffective disorder. So, like, it's hard to... it's basically schizophrenia with bipolar with psychotic tendencies, which is awesome. So that's
that sounds like a real great mix there.
Oh, it's so fun. Like my wife loves it. It's awesome.
do you think that's something that you always had, or do you think drugs and stuff had kind of abacerated that?
Yeah, I asked my psychiatrist that, and who my therapist and psychiatrist diagnosed me after. Seeing me for quite a while and going over my symptoms and stuff. And my psychiatrist said, I think it's, you know, it can partly be induced by the psychosis of, you know, the stimulants you were taking, and like the psychosis of just what the brain went through. I was also doing tons of stimulants, like whatever stimulant you can think of, insert, and I would do that as well with the opiates. So
right. Well, I mean, I think of cocaine or speed or something like that.
Yeah, cocaine, meth, all that stuff. I mean, once, because there just was a threshold to where I was like, well, I'm doing everything now, and it's crazy, because I just never thought I would, in my wildest dreams, ever thought I would be like have that kind of personality or do that, you know, and it still doesn't even, it doesn't reflect who I am as a person. It's crazy. It's just so, I just don't, you know, there's just a part of me that just is like, has this like escapism. I mean, it's just an addictive mind, but, mm-hmm. The schizoaffective stuff's crazy, man. That it's helped the writing process in ways. 'Cause I'll get in like a manic thing and I'll just be like going, but sometimes those songs aren't all that great. But yeah, right. I mean, support of my wife and like the band, they're so awesome. And my family, they're all so amazing. And the fans, when I OD'd, I talked about it on Instagram because I just wanted to try to help someone else maybe, you know, and just to be like, hey, it's, you know, it's okay. And to not talk about it and make it taboo is like perpetuating the stigma, you know, around that. And so I got the fun addictive shit and mental health shit to boot, and just, you know, pretty stereotypical musician shit.
well, I mean, you sent me some new stuff.
Yeah,
it sounds great. Right. And, you know, I didn't dive in too hard to the lyrics. And obviously, you know, you sent it to me a while ago and I hadn't talked to you about this yet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the idea of, you know, of your struggles and how much mental health seems to be in the forefront of what people are talking about now. And it's a really, really good thing. But the fact that there's, you know, so many organizations and so many people are just saying, look, like, I have this and I, you know, it's okay to not be okay. All these different things that, you know, really are bringing people together. I think that's a beautiful thing. And I think that with the Spill Canvas, you know, new record and you guys coming back and doing it again, I think it really is a great time. And I think it makes a lot of sense. And I'm really excited for you guys to do it and for everybody to hear it.
Yeah, man, I am too. Thank you. I'm just, I just want to get it out there, and I, you know, I would love to have. I love our fan base so much. Don't get me wrong; they're like the lifeblood of the part of the reason I'm alive, honestly, because they're so amazing, you know. And I just love them, but I also I want to make new fans. I want to, you know, I want new people to enjoy it for what it is, and for different reasons. And maybe that's not possible because of, you know, just the times and what.
I don't think so, but
being old.
No, I don't think so. But, I mean, you know, yeah. I've seen your name, you know, on some like emo night shows, and obviously like a song like All Over You. That song has transcended generations. I mean, that's you know, it's true though. I mean, that's a song that people will know, younger people know, and people will know for decades to come, I believe. So there's always that foot in the door. You know, and you guys too. You, I mean, the association you had with some of your peers. You know, I always thought of, you know, you guys alongside kind of like Augustana and Jack's Mannequin. You know, great bands that I think also, you know, will stand the test of time.
Yeah,
and, I think being lumped in with them, I think it really does like mean something.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. That does. I'm for sure the guy that is always like, it's just like a. I can't like a programmed in my head, like, you know, pessimistic kind of person, not pessimistic, but like always thinks the whatever is bad that can happen will happen. And like, I gotta always talk myself out of the like shit and be like, dude, just shut up and like enjoy this and know that, you know, I think I'm finally to a point where I'm getting over myself a little bit.
Yeah, well, a lot of things come with age. Yeah, it does. It does make sense. I mean, a lot of things; those things come with age. I think, you know,
yeah,
especially to like the fact that you talk about you have some stability living down in Florida with your wife and a couple pups, and you know, I think that stability maybe is really good for your personality, you know, and what you kind of need to do pushing forward.
It's imperative. For sure. I mean, I did remember, I mean, when I went into the studio, I mean, maybe a year before we were going in, we were doing all these, like, we did like Motion City's like 10-year anniversary tour. And, you know, we were doing these 10-year anniversary of our album tours. And like, I was talking to her and I was like, you know, when we start writing for new music, because we're going to start doing that soon, I'm not going to have like anything to write about. I can only write so many like just love songs before I need to write like some I'm not just going to write an album about how great marriage is, because I write sad songs that like a typical like sad song, you know, musician. And like, and she was laughed. She was like, you'll be just fine. And so I had to dig through some old lyrics to find some new inspiration. But, you know, it's definitely, yeah, it's the environment I'm in is fucking awesome. And it's great, man. I'm just stoked to get it out there finally.
Yeah. But, well, you know, there's a bit of a problem with that right now.
Yeah.
Isn't that just the way the fucking cookie crumbles, right?
Yeah,
like, right when you're getting your shit together. Really, and
so our lawyer, he has, he unfortunately has some immune system problems. And so he was like, I'm getting out of New York. I'm going to our place like that we have in Jersey. And I hope he's doing all right. I haven't heard from him in a little bit, but, you know, it's like we were just on the phone talking about like in the next week, we're going to do this and we'll finally, you know, have the path to where we're going to put this out on. And it was like, and then this started ramping up pretty quick and I was like, no,
fuck.
But. Yeah. I mean, it's again, like I you know, this is something that is out of anyone's control. It's just Mother Nature doing her thing. So, you know, it if it has to wait, it will wait. Hopefully, as long as I don't, dude, if I died because of coronavirus and this album doesn't come out.
My God, that's a dark thought.
I think that probably was it. I think it's just my normal setting, maybe. I'm just like, I have to find humor in it because then it gets the like really dark in there somewhere. So, plus I am just scared because of the media frenzy that whips you up in a panic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And I would have agreed with you about that, about like this feeling like just a bunch of fear and whatever, until now when you look at it, I'm like, damn, they were right, I think. Because this thing is like exponentially growing, and everywhere, every country in the world, for the most part, I think, you know, has cases, and it is really scary. Well, it just is.
This guy, I read this article. Sarah showed me this article. This dude who was at Disney, who was 34 and like in all right health. I mean, he died like after just like 6 days of getting it. And he got it at Disney, which is like, you know, that's where Sarah works. She works at Disney Spring, like the mall there. And so, you know, she's been there. I mean, I haven't felt anything, you know, but it just like that was scary to know, because the dude was 34 and like I'm older than that, and I'm probably in worse shape than.
Right. Well, I mean, who knows, right, about pre-existing conditions or if he was immunocompromised or whatever too. I mean, you don't know all the information, but regardless, it is something to just. What's better to be safe than sorry, right?
Yeah, it's better to be safe than sorry. I'm just saying. I just want to make it on the record that if something happens to me before this album comes out, please go get the album and support the album.
Okay. All right. There it is, from the horse's mouth.
So dark.
Oh, it is. Nick, I appreciate you doing this. I got one quick fan question here.
Yeah.
From Justin Skoog. He asks a few questions, but this is, I think we already talked about some of this stuff. But he says, have you ever considered putting out a fully acoustic album?
Ooh. Wow. You know, I actually kind of have. It was in my mind because last year we did this. We teamed up with this chain of wineries all over the East Coast called City Winery, and they have.
Oh yeah,
We did we teamed up with them, and it was just the way it worked out was just, it was kind of sad, but it was very cool and serendipitous. But they were like, they were down to book us a tour to each one of their locations. And what we did was, we wanted to make it like something different, not just a rock show at a winery, you know? So we stripped it all down to acoustic. There was still, drums, but he was playing with brushes and rods.
Right.
And then we brought out a violin player. We brought out a keys guy who did keys and slide guitar, cool. Which we have kind of as a new member now. But like that was really broken down as all acoustics. And it was this like different broken down version of all these songs that, you know, that we played normally rocked out. But I think doing an all acoustic album, I think that's the only way I'd be like comfortable fully, is if they were like, if it was like an acoustic album of an existing like rock.
Right.
I just love the atmosphere and the dynamics that you can create with full bands. Like,
totally.
You can make it just as, you know, you can get it down real quiet to where it's just as, you know, dynamic as acoustic, other than, you know, just more instruments going on.
Totally. But, I mean, some of my favorite Spill Canvas songs are the ones that are full acoustic, and I'm sure a lot of people agree with me on that. And that, but the thing is, it's like maybe I like those songs so much because that's a moment within within a whole bunch of other stuff, right? If it was the whole thing was like that, maybe it would lose a little bit of its effect. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I kind of have. It feels like I mean, if, you know, maybe if you could do like, if you could add, the big thing is drums, I think, in that question.
Yeah, right. Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Because if you put like drums on with an acoustic, you could make it work. But if just straight up acoustic, I would, I maybe do like an EP like that. I definitely just wrote an acoustic song 2 days ago that is better than the acoustic song that we have for the record. And now I'm scrambling to try to track that myself, which is so nerve wracking.
Yeah, it is. It is not easy to track things yourself,
dude. I'm not,
especially when it's when you know it's going to be like people are going to hear it, you know, and it's
like our engineer is our manager, and he's like, dude, just don't worry. Like, yeah, you got the equipment to get good signals. Just send the tracks over. I'm like,
right.
Yeah, I don't know how to, I mean, I know the basics, but like, that's like terrifying to like, you know.
Nah, they'll make it sound great. I mean, it's happened to me where I've done like some guest vocal spots and I'm like, there wasn't much of a budget. So I'm like, I can just do it at my house. I'm like, I got an SM7 and like an okay preamp.
Yeah.
They're like, perfect. Yeah. And I'll like scream or sing or whatever and send it over being like, oh man, like, it's I don't like, know. And then I hear it on the record and I'm like, I'm amazing.
You're like, whoa, that was me. I mean, that's true. I mean, I think it's just the fact of like, because I'm really green to like actual tracking it myself and like knowing what to, you know, I'm not going to mix it, obviously, but it's that's crazy, man. Which reminds me, we should write or something.
I'd love to. Let's get together. I mean, if I'm down that way and the planet hasn't been wiped out, sure, let's go.
Yeah. Or if you, I don't mean to talk about this on the interview, but if you want, I can send, I have all these little just clips of like tons of just like loops and clips of music that I made that is all just all different kinds of crap. I just want to start like a side project band with someone that's just like a thing. And I'm putting you on the spot now.
It's amazing how many of these conversations I've had on the podcast of like, yo, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay,
and,
good.
And I love it. And I like, would love to make something with you work, Nick. I mean, all we've got is time. So,
dude, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just sitting here making this and I have a couple good buddies that, like our new keyboard player, him and I like are going back and forth with stuff and I'd love to kind of do something with him. But like, I just want to have another outlet other than Spill Camp, just to do something that's like, let's try this because, you know, I've never tried this before and it would be awesome. But I would love, I don't know any other singers that have like, I mean, I do, but no one ever really wants to or follows through with the like doing it. But maybe they will now.
Well, we'll keep in touch, dude. And, all the best. Anything else to tell the people before I let you go?
Oh my gosh, I don't think so. Just maybe hopeful. Keep your eyes on the lookout for some live streams, and then I mean, I don't know when this is going to be out, so never mind.
A couple weeks, probably.
Okay,
but yeah, well, I mean,
we'll still be.
I don't know what'll be happening. Yeah, when this comes out. But yeah, we'll. Live streams would be awesome, and. And definitely some new Spill Canvas music, hopefully later in the year.
Later in the year. Yeah, by fall, I'm hoping at least.
Awesome.
So, yeah, man, thank you so
Nick,
much.
Thank you, man. Thank you for opening up and chatting.
I'm sorry I did that so blatantly.
it's great, man. Not enough people do that, so I really appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Well, enjoy the rest of your day there with the pups and the wife.
You too. Don't go... crazy.
No, I'm gonna live in this 10x10 room today, hopefully write some music. That'll be my day. So
well, I'm gonna send some to you so you can say, wow, this sucks, no way. And then
sure, man. All right, Nick, well, all the best, man.
You too, bud. Take care.
So there it is with Nick, and believe it or not, he did send me some music. A lot of times we have this conversation and things kind of fall flat and, you know, nothing really comes of it. But no, Nick sent me some jams. he is just the best guy, man. I am so happy that he's doing well and that the Spill Canvas is back doing some stuff. What? You talk about a band that just, they should have been the biggest band in the world. Man, such a good band. And I'm excited to play you some new Spill Canvas music in just a second. But before I do that and before I go, I just want to say again, thank you everyone so much for listening to this, for doing your part, whatever it is, helping out, being positive, and I hope that you're staying safe. And man, I don't have the words for how crazy and intense and taxing this has been on everyone. And hopefully we get to the end of this and the world is a better place in so many ways. That is the goal. Stay strong, be safe, and of course, if you want to get in touch with me, you can. Send me an email. I think I forgot in the intro. leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com, and also check me out on social media at ShaneTold, at leadsingersyndrome on all the socials. I will leave you with this tune. Here is the Spill Canvas and a new one. It's called Mercy on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next time.
Skepticism of this antiquated system makes my